Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. You're about to hear the Serving Today program, which is for pastors and church leaders. This episode was recorded with the late Phil Crowther back in the early 2000s, before he went to glory.
Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the Lord's servants. I'm Derek French and it's good to be with you again. Preaching through Mark chapter 9, Phil Crowther begins a new series. And we devote the whole of today's programme to preaching through Mark chapter 9. Phil Crowther has been with us on a number of occasions in Serving Today, and he's already helped us with preaching through the first 8 chapters of Mark's Gospel. Phil, which verses of Mark 9 are you going to deal with today, and what heading would you give this?
Mark 9, verses 1 to 13, a special show.
That's an interesting comment, and I'm sure that will become clear as you go through. What sort of background information do we need to be aware of?
Well, at last the disciples have seen that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That was a real breakthrough for them. Now, in the second half of Mark, from chapter 9 onwards, Jesus shows them that the Christ must die. He also shows them that they must be willing to give up their lives. He has told them this in Mark 8:31 to 38. And now Jesus will teach them more. Here's the first lesson for 3 disciples. Jesus will show them his power and glory. Jesus' plan to go to the cross is not a big mistake. Jesus is God's Son. He has power. He will be king in God's kingdom after the cross. And this section makes that plain.
Now, Phil, each time you also helpfully point out some notes, if you like, of things we need to be aware of before we come to look at the sermon itself. Is there anything in these verses that you want us to highlight?
Yes, there's a number. In verse 1, if you could read that for me.
Yes, we read, "And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power."
Something is going to happen to show the disciples Jesus' power. Jesus may mean that they'll see his power when he rises from the dead, or when he sends the Holy Spirit, or when he judges Jerusalem in AD 70. We don't really know. The point is that they will see Jesus' power. And now Jesus will help 3 of them to believe it. That's why he takes them up the mountain for this show. And then in Mark 9, verses 2 to 3.
"After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him, and led them up a high mountain, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them."
Christians sometimes call this event the Transfiguration. This means that Jesus changed what he looked like. He shone so bright that it hurt to look at him. And then verse 4.
"And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus."
Now, Elijah represented the prophets in the Old Testament, and Moses represented the law in the Old Testament. It's as if the Old Testament stands there with Jesus. Elijah and Moses agree with Jesus. And then the last one is in verses 11 to 13. Thank you, Derek.
"And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him."
So who's this Elijah that Jesus mentions here? Well, in the Old Testament, Malachi says that Elijah will come before the Christ comes. And Jesus says that Elijah has come. Jesus taught in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist was the Elijah who Malachi spoke about.
Phil, what would you say then is the main point of this passage? What should be our main point in our sermon, if you like?
Yes, this is what needs to come over as we teach it. Jesus is God's Son. He has power to overcome death and rise again. So listen to him. Trust what he says. And just something to think about as you do your preparation for this talk. Remember that the disciples are afraid. They don't understand what Jesus has said about the cross. And Jesus wants them to believe what he says, although it doesn't make sense to them. Now try to help your people to see that we must always believe the Bible, even when it's hard. Think about that. When is it hard for them to believe the Bible when it doesn't seem to make sense?
Yes, I think that's very important, Phil, isn't it? I remember in our family this was particularly relevant a number of years ago. You know that lovely verse in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. A lovely promise and an anchor, if you like, for us, or a basis for us to build our lives upon. And God is in control. And my sister-in-law was killed in a car accident, a lovely Christian, and was going to work and collided with a lorry. And she died. And people were asking, well, where's the good in this? And the family asked me if I would preach at her funeral. And I actually preached on that verse. And I sat down and prayed and thought, oh, no, how was this good for Leslie? And actually, lots of things came through. The most important, of course, was that she was immediately with the Lord.
Yes.
And there is no better place. But a lot of people didn't realize she'd suffered intense pain. She had back surgery a number of years previously and was in agony all the time. And all that was gone in that instant. From what the police told us about the accident, she didn't even brake. It seems that she was even unaware that the lorry was coming for her.
Right.
And we thought that was a mercy too.
Yes.
And as we sat down, people who were asking the question, well, where is the good? We could say, well, there is good. Oh, we miss her immensely, and our hearts were sad and so on. But we could rejoice in the midst of it. That verse was true for her that day, as God had promised that it would be. And sometimes I think with our people, you know, they'll read a passage of Scripture and they think, well, that is hard. How can that be true for me now? And we need to encourage them with things like this, don't we?
We do, because we have such limited vision. That's why we have the Word of God that we can always rely on.
Okay, well, let's come now to the sermon. Now, you've been notorious for mainly having just 2 points in these sermons. There is the occasional one where you've had three or sometimes 4 points. What have we got today?
There's only room for two, Derek.
Right, okay. Well, what's the first of those? And which verses do they cover?
Jesus really is God's Son. And we'll read verses 2-7 to see how that comes out.
After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Remarkable incident, isn't it?
It certainly is. Now, perhaps you've been to a special show or festival that you can remember and use this as an illustration of what's happening here. And you remember that you saw some amazing, wonderful things and you really enjoyed it very much. Jesus took 3 of his disciples to a special show, and it was far more wonderful than any show that we've been to. But of course, Jesus did not do this for fun. It was to teach the disciples, it was to help them to understand 2 things particularly.
And what were they, Phil?
The first is that Jesus will die on the cross, and the second is that Jesus is God's Son. You see, Jesus wants the disciples to believe both things together.
So how does this incident, this, as you've called it, this spectacular show, teach them this?
Well, that's something to think about as you study, and to help the people to think about. At first, they didn't understand very much. They were so frightened that they said the wrong thing. In verse 5 and verse 6 there, it said of Peter, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened.
That's typical of Peter, isn't it?
Yes.
He often blurts things out or does things on impulse. Yeah.
But you see, they did hear what God said from heaven. Verse 7, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. And they would certainly never forget Jesus' glory and power. Imagine it, he shone so white, so bright. And so what Peter had said back in Mark 8:29 must be right. Jesus is the Christ, the King, the Son of God. He can almost see that that's true.
So how would we apply this in our sermon, Phil?
Jesus wants us to believe these two things. One, he did die a terrible death on the cross. And two, he really is the Son of God. He's the King. And one day we will see him shining bright. Do you believe these things about Jesus?
That's a good question to ask our congregations, isn't it? Okay, that's your first point. Jesus really is God's Son. What's your second point?
Well, it's the application in a way. So listen to him. Mark 9, verses 7 to 10.
Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked round, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant.
That's a good question to ask your people. Who do you listen to normally? Who do you believe? Who is it that you trust? The disciples were slow to believe Jesus. In fact, Peter even argued with him and told him off, you remember, back in Mark 8:32. And now God tells them from heaven, listen to my Son. Elijah and Moses are there too. It's as if God says to the disciples, the Old Testament agrees with Jesus. The prophets and the law agree with what Jesus is saying. Now, the disciples believe the Old Testament, and yet they are still not ready to believe everything that Jesus says. They must believe Jesus when he says that he will die. They must believe him when he says that he will rise from the dead. Now, for them, that was hard, because it was so different from what they thought.
How then should we, if you like, drive this point home in our sermon? What would you suggest we do?
Two things, really. First, we too must always believe what Jesus says in the Bible. Now, that's not always an easy thing to do, but what Jesus says is always true, whatever it looks like. And the second is this. Remember what God said from heaven. Listen to God's Son. That's a message for us, isn't it? One day Jesus will come back. He will shine like the sun, and he'll want to know if you've listened to him.
And with those helpful applications from Phil Crowther, we bring this edition of Serving Today to a close. Thank you for being with us, and until next time, this is Derek French saying goodbye, and may we both listen to and obey the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.